Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. I'm Kyle Mackey, reporter for WBFO. We are here with several members of the Buffalo Public Schools District Administration. Could I have you all go around and give an introduction and your name and title, please?
Sabatino Somato. I'm the lead associate superintendent for secondary schools in the Office of School Leadership.
Hi, I'm Ann Botticelli. I am the chief academic officer for the Buffalo Public Schools.
Good morning. I'm Myra Burden. I'm the Chief Technology Officer for Buffalo Public Schools.
Hello, good morning. My name is Cassandra Wright. I am the Lead Associate for Elementary Education.
Okay, great. Thank you. So let's get started. We are talking about the district's new grading policy. Students and parents have had a lot of questions about grading during this difficult time. So I'd like to offer Anne perhaps to give an overview of the new policy.
Sure. So we took some time to make sure that we were providing the most equitable procedures that we could, considering all of the struggles that many of our families have experienced. So we really were mindful that any practice we were putting into place would be supportive of families in this time. So we are going to be still using numeric grades at the upper grade levels. We will count the first two quarters as they were while students were in school. Third quarter looks a little different. We've extended that to pretty much the end of the school year, and that will be factored into the average twice. So the first two quarters each have a 25% weight, and then the third extended quarter will have a weight of twice that much, 50%. Any student who is struggling to complete work, who really has had a very difficult time working with us right now, if they have a grade below a passing, they'll be recorded as incomplete, and we'll be recommending those students for summer school options. At the elementary, we're actually converting some of those numeric scores in grades 3 to 6 into incomplete, satisfactory, or outstanding, because we recognize that some kids are just going to need more time and a little more support to be complete in their academic record.
Okay, great. Thanks. So just to confirm, it seems like there's no fourth quarter this year. The third quarter is extended for the rest of the year. Is that right?
Yes, and it will be counted twice.
Great.
When they factor the average.
Okay. And as far as the recommendations for summer school, how is that different from normal years?
We don't always offer a summer school option for grades pre-K through 6. We have summer camps available when we partner with Say Yes, but this will look a little different. We're still fleshing out some of the details. We don't know yet if we're even going to be allowed onto campuses. So a lot of this is still a work in progress, but we want to make sure that kids who are struggling with reading and math will have that opportunity.
Okay, so this is an expansion of summer school options in light of this unprecedented situation.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. What else do students and parents need to know about the new policy? I've been interviewing high school seniors, and several of them had a lot of confusion about grading. Some say, we haven't been getting grades, so a lot of my friends have just given up on doing work. Why should we, you know, keep submitting assignments if they don't even matter? Other students said, we're getting more work than usual. I have a ton of research papers, and it's more work than I ever had to do while I was in school. So there's just been a lot of confusion and I think struggle with online learning. I know that exists for teachers too, but what's your message to students and parents during this time?
I'm sure my colleagues may want to contribute to this as well, but I think it's important for a student to understand that anything after March 13th will be to their benefit. We are going to be exempting those grades in the sense that they'll only help a student. So students who might have been struggling before, we want them to take advantage of this and really work with their teachers to continue to improve their grades. Students who might have been doing well already, this is a great opportunity to improve your grades as well. So we think there should be motivation for all students to want to continue. And if we can't reach a student, we're putting an intervention plan in place to make sure that we have some form of contact to really engage with them. Because we know right now social emotional wellness is equally important as academic wellness. We need to address all the needs of the student.
Tito, do you want to?
Yeah, I was going to say, if anyone else wants to chime in on that, go for it.
Sure, Kyle. And just to piggyback off of what Ann said, you know, this time is very different, and we can't ignore that, right? We know that it's not our regular academics. We know that it's not our regular academic school year. We know that in the past 6 weeks, we've learned more about virtual learning than we've ever learned before. And it's not only us having to learn that, it's our kids and families having to learn that. So it's a very, you know, our administrators and teachers have really focused more on the engagement than just about the score, okay? The priority has got to be, how do we keep our kids engaged in the learning during this time? And how are we making the priority them and their families and continue that learning? So our staff has really become true instruments of inspiration during this. They're really keeping on working, thinking out of the box, reaching out to families, driving by families' homes. You know, we even have instances where teachers are doing parades by homes of seniors, are doing parades by homes of kids when they have their birthdays. Anything to keep kids continuously engaged in the learning during this time. That really is the key.
From the high school level, anything to say from the elementary level on that, Cassandra?
Absolutely. I just have to echo what Tina was saying around all the work that's being done to keep our students engaged. We have yet to realize the impact of this pandemic, so I'm not surprised that there are emotions that are all over the place when it comes to our seniors, because the same is true when we consider our adults. And our students, I think, are doubly impacted. So their reality is such that they've never, ever seen this before. So they're searching for answers that the adults don't have yet. What they can rest assured is we are working day and night to figure out a plan for them so each and every one of them can be successful. As Tino was saying, we have schools mapping out routes so that they can drive by and celebrate students while they're at home. We want all of our kids to know that we have not forgotten you. We're getting pretty innovative around the ways to reach out, celebrate, and remain connected. It's a journey, and all of the answers are not going to come soon. As we look across the nation, over 45 states have already shut down their schools. We're fortunate here that we still have the ability to reach out and maintain some level of connection with the kids, but we don't want them to be disheartened, feeling like, you know, why bother? Please don't feel that way. We want you to continue to be engaged in your academics, because your next step is college, and that's going to happen.
And I always love being on these with my colleagues, because it not only does it spark what we're doing, but it sparks new ideas. And Kyle, I think that one of the keys here in the genius of everybody working together, led by our chief academic officer and Ann Botticelli, is that we looked at this grading. Like I said, the priority is engagement and to continue it with any learning that we can for our students. But grading as more of an indication to the educator than as a result to the student. Do you know what I mean? So at the end of this, if a kid had lack of access, struggled with this situation, we're not penalizing with failures, we're indicating incomplete. That incomplete is more of an indication for us that more support is needed. So that's a new angle. And our teachers are the way they are working from home to work with our students, the way that they're working with our administrators to reach out to students, it really makes that focus on engagement and that continued learning the best that we can.
There are also two special categories of students that I wanted to talk about where I think there are a lot of concerns: special education needs and also English language learners, if anybody would like to chime in on those.
Sure, I'm happy to. You'll see in that document, we did lay out some of the considerations that we want to make sure teachers are taking into account when they support our special needs learners and our multilingual learners. One thing to remember with multilingual is that we do have a system called Talking Points that allows an educator to contact the parent speaking to them in English, and the parent will hear it in their home language if it's available in the system. And then when they speak back, the educator will hear it in English. So it's one of the many ways we're trying to support our families. But we also have hotlines that they can reach out to. We have a sort of a virtual office hours type of thing where parents can contact us. We're hearing directly from teachers who require support with certain families. So we're taking every avenue that we can to make sure that we're supporting our families. We're translating documents into as many languages as possible, constantly reaching out. But we also want to think about how we produce assignments for those students. And so that's what we were trying to do through our document, is give teachers some thoughts about ways they might engage students differently than they would a traditional student who's coming in fluent in English. For students with special education, a lot of the same considerations. We want to make sure that we're taking into account the ways we deliver information. So right now we're also ramping up professional development for our teachers so they can see what remote learning best practices are. And it's definitely an emerging field. So we know that we're going to have to continue to provide training. Our tech department has done a fantastic job working with teachers to get them accustomed to using the remote systems. But we also want to make sure that they've thought through what delivery looks like. Now that you understand the technology, what does it look like when you're reaching out to a special education student and providing those additional supports? We also have teletherapy available to our students. So we're making sure that we're doing our best to meet their needs that way as well.
Right. Okay. And that, yes, this is certainly an emerging field. Everybody across the country is trying to grapple with a sudden switch to online learning. So of course, teachers are learning on the fly, as are students. But I wanted to ask, what exactly is required of teachers right now? I know many of them are caring for their own students at children at home. And I know Dr. Cash is saying that he's strongly encouraging teachers to check in with their students. But what amount of instruction is required? Like, what are teachers required to be providing to students right now?
So I think everybody has slightly different home circumstances, and we want to take that into account and be reasonable. But we are asking our teachers to reach out to their students. Our special education teachers are reaching out at minimum of about twice a week, depending on the number of students that they service. And they're keeping track of who they've reached, who they've struggled to reach. And we're putting systems into place so that we can get a better handle on exactly who we haven't reached enough, and then put into place interventions for those students.
I just want to amplify what Ann was saying and actually take this as an opportunity to send the kudos out to Building Leadership and the teachers. So required is a strong word. What I want to emphasize is the fact that teachers and administrators have absolutely, because of their passion and love of students, risen to this occasion. They were literally thrust into this overnight. And it's pretty amazing the way principals are continuing to lead these virtual schools. They are continuing to have grade level meetings with their teachers. Teachers are attending. They're having faculty meetings virtually. They're having parent meetings virtually. The teachers have been absolutely amazing. So Anne has pointed out, so many of the teachers are not only educating their students, they're educating their children. So this is the time for us to be very sensitive and very nimble around what we are expecting adult professionals who are also caregivers of their family to do. And they have gone above and beyond our wildest expectations. They're doing lesson plans. They're creating innovative and engaging lessons. They're developing YouTube videos. They are meeting with children and families by any digital means necessary. It's we had an idea of what it was that we wanted principals and teachers to do, but they've been so creative. They've moved beyond what we thought was even capable. Our parents are reaching out to administrators and teachers for additional assistance. What we have found as an unintended consequence of all of this is deeper parental engagement with teachers, administrators. Because of the context, there is a deeper intimacy. Small group learning is going on. Students are less intimidated by other people in the room, so to speak, and they're asking questions. They're emailing their teachers at all hours of the night because they get to stay up. There's no schedule per se. So we're finding that the teachers, while there's not this rigid requirement, are giving their time in such a way that it's beyond what we could have ever expected.
Cassandra just said it so well. And Kyle, I think that I remember in a conversation with you a couple weeks ago, Cassandra just used the term unintended consequences. You know, there's light at the end of all of this, right? Is that we're going to have so many more tools in our toolkit. We've talked about this before, okay? You know, we're just going to be so much more refined, so much more strategic. Kids are going to be so much more refined in being resourceful and finding different ways to learn. Families, the engagement that they're having in the education of their child. So even though this is so difficult right now, you know, and to go back to our teachers, I have the unique opportunity that my wife is a teacher in the district. And you should just see how teachers coordinate and administrators coordinate. It is beyond beautiful. It's what you always ever pictured, you know, education to be. A couple days ago, she got a call from a teacher for a special needs student that they wanted to make sure that child was staying engaged. It was a child's birthday. They formed a caravan to drive by the house, holding up signs with, you know, and there wasn't, her administrator didn't call and require. Her administrator and her teachers collaborated to just do what was the best for the child. That's what we're seeing from these situations. So the grade is there, but it's more about the engagement and then what the result of that engagement will be that comes out of all of this.
I'm going to agree with that. I think that relationships have been built like never before through this, just because I think we take so much for granted. And I think the students and the teachers have also bought into that. The only other thing I think we need to mention, and you wanted to reiterate something about the, it's the special ed teachers that are in contact at least twice a week.
Yes, there was no, so special ed teachers are very aware that they are to be in contact with their students at least two times a week, depending on the particular number of students they support. Other teachers are working with their principals to have different types of contact and frequency of contact. But I think we should probably reiterate that there's a number of ways that teachers can contact their students, right? So it might be through Schoology, but it might be over the phone. It might be through talking points. It might be through email. So every teacher is taking the approach that's working for the particular student, because we know that they don't all have the same type of access. That they may need additional supports that maybe just assigning through Schoology won't provide. So they are doing their best to reach every student that they can. And we're going to be able to put intervention plans in place to support those kids that might have the incomplete or need the additional supports. Right. I also want to say, I am supporting two school-aged children at home now myself. So I've always appreciated our teachers, but wow, right now I am so thankful for the fantastic job that they are doing and that they always do, for the social emotional support for my kids and for all of our kids, for the caring, for the skill set that they bring to the table. It's a struggle, right? When you're a parent with a job and you're trying to make sure your kids stay on top of their learning. So kudos to the parents who are working with the kids. Kudos to all the teachers and administrators who are supporting our students. We really, really appreciate everything that they're doing during this time.
Right. And I'm not a parent myself, but I have a sister who's a kindergarten teacher who is now at home with two toddlers of her own. So I have a huge respect for all the work that all parents and teachers are doing right now. And of course, everyone's schedule has changed. We all have to be more flexible than usual. I did want to ask, Myra, could you give us an update on the digital divide, how the Wi-Fi hotspots are going? What has, you know, since we last spoke a couple of weeks ago, how is internet access looking across the district?
So thank you, Kyle, for the opportunity to talk about technology and the support that it brings to all of the instruction and learning that is taking place remotely. Since we last spoke, we have completed the first round of distribution to our 3 through 8th grade students. And as of last Thursday, we had distributed over 10,000 devices to that population of students. As you probably recall, back on March 17th, within a day's time, we were able to distribute over 7,500 devices to our high school students. So we will begin makeup distribution on Thursday. So parents will get a communication sent to them via our school messenger and or directly from their principal regarding makeup opportunities to pick up devices for those 3rd through 8th grade students if they were not able to make it in the first round. With regard to internet access, we are going to be distributing our first round of mobile hotspots to about 77 high school students who are also identified as AP students. With upcoming AP exams taking place, those devices will be distributed to them. We collected the data for the need through our mobile hotspot request survey. So as of last week, we had a little over 800 or about 800 to 900 responses with regard to internet access needs. So we are starting with those population of students later this week so that we can get those hotspots into the hands of those needed students. And then we'll begin the distribution for remaining high school students as well as 3rd through 8th graders. Since then, we have also been working with Spectrum to increase the level of access through the Charter Spectrum Company. As you know, they had offered 60 days free internet access. However, we found that some parents were having trouble qualifying for that program because of outstanding balances. So Spectrum has agreed to waive any outstanding balances for new subscribers. And we also have some literature that parents can submit with a form to qualify for the Internet Assist Program that's also sponsored by Spectrum, where they can get internet access at a discounted rate. So that information can be found on our Buffalo Public Schools main webpage under District News for more information about how to qualify for the Spectrum programs. So we are moving along in the space of getting internet into the hands of our students, continually trying to get those devices in the hands of the students to continue the remote learning from home.
What about the Emergency Smart Schools Bond Act application? Is there any update on that?
No, nothing new since the last time we spoke. Basically, it has been reviewed by the board, and we're just waiting for a word on the approval.
I think everything that Myra and technology are doing, even though we did not see any of this coming, what is happening now is we're feathering the nest on the IFCOM that this might continue. And so by getting hotspots out, by getting computers going, we will, if schools don't reopen, we will be more ready. And ready and still building on this.
Right. I'm glad you brought that up because the governor has closed schools as of now through May 15th. But many students and parents I'm talking to know that, you know, the writing is kind of on the wall. It's very possible schools won't reopen this year. Is anyone willing to give me a sense of how you feel that might play out in Buffalo? I know it's hard to know.
I don't think so. I think we're all just waiting. I know Dr. Cash has said he will not return students to any situation where he thinks they're not 100% safe. And I'm seeing today that Niagara Falls has made a statement publicly that they do not expect to come back. So we shall see.
Right. We shall. Okay.
I just wanted to emphasize that we are really a whole child district, and we took great care and intentionality around developing a process that would be fair and equitable and take into consideration the deep impact of this pandemic, not only on the students, but on the teachers, the administrators, just society in as a whole. So we did everything that we could to make sure that people were held harmless. That's the last thing that we wanted to do, is to be punitive during a time where people really are suffering. We have no idea how people will emerge from this. And members of this Buffalo Public Schools, like family community, we just wanted to be supportive of everyone.
Okay, thank you. I think we will have to leave it there for today. But again, we really appreciate your time. Thank you for getting on the call today with WBFO.
Thanks, Kyle.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.